On this, the third Sunday of the Easter season, because the Easter season lasts for a full 50 days, there is a continued emphasis in our readings on the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and encouraging believers to understand what it can mean to each of them. As always, it's important to put our biblical passages in their context. So starting with that passage from the Acts of the Apostles, it's part of an address to the crowd by Peter after the healing of the lame beggar at the gate of the temple known as Beautiful, the Beautiful Gate. As the old joke goes, the beggar looked for alms and Peter and John gave him legs. Sorry about that one. The reading from the first letter of John is the first part of the third of five chapters of a letter to a church, or more likely churches, where there were believers who the writer calls his children, but who also are God's children, a theme we shall return to. And our passage, a gospel passage from Luke chapter 24, if you know Luke chapter 24, you will know it comes directly after the story of the two who meet with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. The appearance is only recorded in Luke. Note it, we began with, while the 11 and their companions were talking about what they had heard. What they were talking about is what they'd heard from the two who'd met Jesus on the road to Emmaus, who'd run back to Jerusalem to say that Jesus was alive. So what on this third Sunday of the Easter season is the message for us from these respective passages? Well, one thing that David's already touched upon, and I expect he's speaking to the children about, is the importance of the Old Testament, the importance of knowing it, or we cannot fully understand what we read in the New Testament. Remembering that many of the early people who responded to the Christian gospel were themselves Jews who knew their Old Testament. Peter, in our passage from the Acts of the Apostles, is addressing a Jewish audience. What does he say to them? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors. You can see here the Jewish context in which he's talking and speaking. What has this God done? He has glorified his servant Jesus. Peter is saying that tells us what has, tells the people what has happened in and through Jesus, his suffering on the cross, his death, and his resurrection. And that all of this fulfills what the Old Testament had to say. What does Peter say? In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through the prophets, who of course we find in the Old Testament, that his Messiah would suffer. And that was the problem that the Jewish people had at the time, was their expectation of a Messiah, but not one that would suffer, rather than one that would be a political liberator. I referred to this last Sunday as well. That's what they looked for, but it isn't what the scripture pointed to. And of course, we often reflect upon, rather, and rightly so, on the suffering servant as described in Isaiah chapter 53, as we actually heard read here in our Good Friday service. Yes, the prophets point forward to Jesus, the Messiah, but that he would suffer, first of all. Likewise, we have part of Jesus speaking to his disciples, as recorded in Luke 24, the risen Jesus. What does he say to them? These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, reminding the disciples what he'd said previously. That everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. What, of course, Jesus does there is use the usual Jewish division of the Old Testament into the law, the first five books, the books of Moses, the prophets, the writings of the prophets, and also they used to include the historical books that describe the prophets in their period, and then the third section, the writings, which includes Psalms and Proverbs and so forth, here called the Psalms. The law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms, all of the Old Testament. Jesus says that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And he goes on, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise again on the third day. Yes, we need to know our scripture, not just the gospel accounts, because so much woven within them are references to the Old Testament. We also need to know how the Old Testament, and the prophets in particular, point forward to Jesus as the Messiah. Yes, know how the whole of the Old Testament points forward and is fulfilled in the person of Jesus, his death, and his resurrection. Knowing the scriptures. But not only, I think, do these readings point us to knowing the scriptures, but also to telling about Jesus and what he's done. I do love this period of celebration, this Easter season, from Easter to the Feast of Pentecost, because each Sunday we have a reading from the Acts of the Apostles, as we did this morning, our first reading. And they usually contain powerful bits of preaching by the first apostles. This morning, Peter to the crowd in the Jerusalem temple. What does he say? This is who Jesus is and what he's done. And then at the end, we get the very powerful. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. Peter, supported by John, is doing what Jesus had told them to do in our gospel reading. Be a witness. Speak about Jesus and their faith in him. Jesus says to them, you are witnesses of these things. You've been with me, seen my teaching, seen my miracles, seen me crucified, seen me risen and alive. A witness, of course, tells what they've seen and what they know. If you're a witness in court, that's what you have to do. And as followers of the risen Jesus, we too are called to be witnesses, telling others about Jesus, about God's love, and the possibility of becoming, as the writer of the first letter of John has it, to become God's children, coming into his family, as he explains it in that first part of chapter 3. Now I know as soon as I mention the idea of talking about faith, witnesses, to people, to ordinary members of the congregation, there is a concern, a worry, and a nervousness. I can't speak about my faith. It's always seemed particularly to apply to Anglicans, dare I say it. Some free church people often are far better at it than Anglicans. And it is a pity, in fact, that the compilers of our lectionary, the set of readings that we use, have cut the reading from Luke 24 off at verse 48. Because the verse following, verse 49, says this. It is Jesus still speaking. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. For the powerful bits of preaching recorded in the Acts of the Apostles were done by the Apostles in the power of the Holy Spirit, the power from on high. And in fact, it's often been suggested that the Acts of the Apostles is incorrectly entitled. It should really be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because that is what it records. We will, of course, 5 weeks from today, celebrate the coming, first coming of the Holy Spirit on the Feast of Pentecost. But that power of God's Spirit is available to all believers in order that we too may witness, tell others about the risen Jesus. So my message to you this morning from these passages is to know and to tell. To know Scripture, how the Old Testament points forward to Jesus, and how Jesus, through his death and resurrection, fulfills it. Know also, of course, God as Father. Become God's children through faith in Jesus, who died and rose again and brought us into this new relationship, as 1 John explains. And if that is the case, then let us take our responsibility seriously to tell others about what God in Christ has done. What he's done for you. What your personal faith means. And in turn, what he might be able to do for others too, who are willing to respond to the love of God in Christ Jesus. And don't be nervous. There is the power of God's Spirit, the power from on high, promised to all believers. May we be a people who both know and then tell. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.